Chapter 19. I barely caught my cup as it slipped through my hands and my chest pierced with longing so bright that it hurt. They'd come for me. But no, I told myself firmly and wrapped my fingers securely around the porcelain cup, letting the heat of it anchor me. Don't be stupid. The last time I'd tried to go home, I'd had a fireball flung at me to warn me well away. So they definitely hadn't come for me, no matter what my stupid, treacherous heart might have hoped for one brief moment. But even if I wasn't a real part of my first family anymore, I still knew their rules. They always avoided humans whenever possible, even when those humans were alone. If they were really on their way to a crowded human city now, after the kind of restless, reckless behaviour that the humans had been gossiping about for at least a week, then something had gone very wrong indeed. And no matter what those stupid battle mages might think, everyone in this city was in danger. Breathing hard, I set my cup down safely on the closest counter, next to the presentation pot, with the rest of the hot chocolate I had cooked. Around me, a jumble of voices filled the kitchen. Dragons? But why? We have to hide, Dieter yanked free of horse grip. We can't stand around talking. Marina's golden skin looked almost grey, but she stood her ground. And where exactly do you think we should go, young man? If a pack of dragons is really intent on attacking this city, they'll burn every building to the ground. There's nowhere we can hide. By the river, Dieter said urgently. It's the only safe way. I know we'll be out in the open there, but at least if we're near water, we might have a chance to... But why are dragons attacking us? Silky interrupted. It makes no sense. I know there are always scare stories about travellers sighting dragons out about the mountains, but they've never come anywhere near a real city before. Why now? Who cares? Dieter demanded. He reached out to grab her arm. Silky danced back. I'm still thinking. Her eyes narrowed. Look, if we already know about the dragons, the king must too. And you know there's been that whole movement along the merchants lately, pushing for him to send soldiers and battle mages into the mountains and clear out any dragon's nest for good. I'll bet you anything he's already ordered the army out by now, not to mention every battle mage he's got. Any dragons on their way will be slaughtered before they can blow a single flame near the city. No, I lurched forward, my voice a ravaged cloak. A battalion won't be enough, battle mages won't be enough, and they cannot attack before they even know what the dragons want. If they do, it'll be a disaster. Dieter looked sick. Then Silky cut him off, her sharp gaze fixed on me. What do you know about dragons adventuring? I looked into her eyes and took a deep breath. Do you remember all those questions you asked me about where I came from and why I was keeping it such a secret? Well, I don't have time to explain it all now, but if we really are friends, then I need you to believe me. There will be a slaughter if the king sends out his army, but it won't be the dragons who are killed. I looked at Marina. You're right. They'll burn every street of the city down in retribution if the army attacks them. I could almost hear Grandfather's voice in my head planning strategy. If these humans aren't punished in a way that sends fear into the hearts of everyone else, who might ever think to plan such carnage? I couldn't let it happen. Not in the city that had become my territory. The last time I tried to call out to Grandfather, he'd sent a fireball acing towards me. But any dragon worth her scales would brave far worse to protect her horde and the creatures who had become her family. And this room is full of those. I wouldn't let any of them be hurt. We need to stop this, I told Silky. Horst gave a disbelieving crack of laughter. And how exactly do you plan to do that, if you'd ever seen a real dragon? That's not who I need to see first. My gaze was firmly fixed on Silky. You know every inch of this city. Can you find a way to take me to the king or the crown princess? I need to talk to one of them, now. Silky stared at me. Then she began to laugh as she slowly shook her head back and forth. Oh, venturing, she said. I always knew you were a little different from the rest of us, but until now I never knew you were completely insane. Fine. I left my untouched hot chocolate on the counter behind me as I started across the room. I'll find a way myself then, somehow, but... Oh, no, you won't, Silky tucked her hand into my arm as she fell into step beside me. Trust me, I wouldn't miss this for the world. And besides, she looked at me pityingly up and down. Let's face it, you may be a fantastic apprentice chocolatier, but you're no more dressed for a royal visit now than you were when you first arrived in this city. And when it comes to talking your way past royal guards while you're dressed like a housemaid, you could really use me on your side. Well, that was why I'd asked her in the first place, but I felt a ball of unfamiliar warmth form, like a quiet, steady flame in my chest as I looked into her face and saw the smile lurking there. And speaking of how I was dressed, I pulled free and hurried to the cupboard where my scale cloth was kept. It might not help me with the king, but if Silky ever managed to get me past all the battle-hungry humans who were involved in this mess, I'd be talking to my family soon. This time I'd have to find a way to make them listen. I only had one good luck talisman in my possession, and it was exactly what I needed to remind myself of who I really was. Both human skin and scales included. Marina was right. It was time to stop hiding and flash some colour. I tucked the silver and crimson scale cloth under my arm and strode back towards Silky, ready to risk Dragonflyer. This is ridiculous. Dieter darted in front of us before we could even reach the swing door. Silky, I know you've never had an ounce of common sense, but I'm telling you, you can't just go trotting off across the city when there are dragons flying towards it. Silky raised one eyebrow. "If there are dragons flying towards us," she said, "I'd rather spend my last minutes having a wild adventure instead of cowering in fear." He glowered down at her, crossing his arms. "You're only 13 years old," he told her, "and if mother and father were here, they'd tell you how stupid and irresponsible you were being." "No," said Marina abruptly. "Actually, she's right. Horst," she looked at him, "I don't know about you, but if this is the last hour of my life, I want to spend it doing what's most important. Do you remember that question you kept on asking me?" Horst stared at her. Then he straightened away from the wall with a wild jerk. "Now?" he said. "Now's when you finally agree to marry me." Marina snorted. "Are you mad? Where would we find a judge at this time of day without any notice?" She gestured at the stove. "No, I was talking about the chocolate." "Of course you were." Horst rolled his eyes, but his shoulders relaxed. A half smile broke across his face. "So you're finally willing to try my experiment? You'll actually make a chocolate custard to my recipe instead of yours?" "Why not?" Marina smiled back at him as she picked up a wooden spoon. "It'll taste horrific, of course, and it's an abomination of my kitchen, but if we're all about to be burned anyway, I might as well make you happy this once." She pointed the spoon at him threateningly. "I'm warning you, though. If we survive, you'll have to eat every bit of this disaster, even if that means licking the whole pot clean, and I don't want any complaints." Horst's smile thinned as he gave a gentle shake of his head. "Unlike the rest of you," he said quietly, "I've actually seen a dragon. It was a long time ago, and from a long way away. But no, I don't think survival will be a possibility for us today." He sighed and pushed the kitchen doors open. "I'll get a table and chairs from the front room. Dieter, do you want to stay and enjoy the new recipe?" Dieter gaped at all of us, shaking his head. "Everyone in this kitchen is mad except for me." "Well then," Silky said, her smile raised up, "it's no wonder I like it here so much. Step aside, big brother." As the two of them locked gazes, I looked back at Marina, bracing herself. "I really do have to go." "I understand." She gave me a firm nod. "Go, see if you can bash any sense into the king's thick head, but then come back, because I'm not losing my apprentice again." I genuinely thought by then that I must have walked through almost all the streets of Drakenberg. I was wrong. Silky led me down narrow, twisting back alleys I'd never seen before, and under bridges where frightened people huddled together in clumps, many of them holding massive sacks that seemed to be filled with their most precious possessions. Every time I looked into the sky and saw those small, still tiny, but unmistakable winged figures in the far distance, I lost my breath. My chest felt close to bursting with so many emotions mixed together that I couldn't even tell which one of them was the strongest. None of the humans around me seemed to have that problem, though. They were simply terrified. I thought about telling them that there was no need to hide under bridges. For one thing, the dragons were still too far away to shoot flames at them. For another, the bridges wouldn't do them any good once the dragons finally did arrive. It would have made so much more sense for all these cowering people to stay outside, enjoying their city while they still could, and savouring what might be their very last minutes. But it was always hard to tell how humans would react to good advice, and I had enough to worry about protecting this whole city. "This isn't the way to the palace, is it?" I asked Silky as she led me at a quick trot through the chaos of a busy second district street clogged by carriages. Half the city, or at least anyone with enough money to own a vehicle, seemed to be trying to escape. The traffic had come to a standstill, with each horse's nose nearly bumping the back of the next carriage. Drivers shouted at each other from every direction, and finely dressed men and women leaned out the carriage windows to add their own screeching to the chaos, holding massive cases on their laps and looking just as panicked as the horses. "The palace? Why would we want to go there?" Silky dodged round a snorting carriage horse as she darted ahead of me towards the pavement. The horse reared, letting out a whinny of rage, and the driver screamed an insult that I didn't understand. Silky waved a dismissive hand at the driver as I stopped walking to stare down the horse. "You couldn't have moved forward anyway," Silky called back to them. "No one's going anywhere in this crush, so there's no reason to be rude." Then she grabbed my hand and pulled me away from my staring match to a gap between the two shops ahead of us. It led to a bare, unpainted passageway barely wide enough for the two of us to squeeze through, with a gutter running down it and sending a terrible stench into the air. "No one important will be at the palace," Silky told me as we hurried down the stinking passageway, skipping carefully around the channel of dirty water at its centre. "The king and the crown princess would never stay there in a crisis. They'll be at the town hall along with the lord mayor and the king's privy council. They're like the town council, but they look after the whole country. Oh, and the head of the army should be there too by now. They all have to be seen to be working together for politics' sake, even if the king is the only one who can make a final decision when it comes to war. Humans. Their rules would never make sense to me. But at least it looked as if I would finally have a chance to meet the man who'd been trying so hard to destroy the chocolate heart from the time I'd first arrived in Drakenberg. My teeth bared in a menacing smile at the thought of the Lord Mayor, and my short human nails bit into my palms like claws. "No attacking anybody," Silky said, without even looking back at me. "Remember, let me do the talking." I didn't mind letting her do the talking, at least when it came to the humans in our way. But I wasn't making any promises about the attacking. No one threatened my horde without retribution. "Well," Silky blew out her breath as she led me out the other end of the passageway onto the edge of the wide open square. "Looks like everyone's here already." A massive grey stone building rose up at the far end of the square. covered with carved gargoyles that crawled along its rows and rows of arching windows. The whole effect was probably supposed to look impressive, but to me it looked as bumpy and over-decorated as the kind of fancy cake that Marina always sneered at. She said that real cooks cared about what taste, more about taste than about appearance. Still, even I had to admit that it was big. High-pointed stone towers shot up from every corner. The central tower stood highest of all, with a huge clock facing out from the top of it. I'd seen that clock tower 100 times before from all around Drakenberg, and as my gaze fixed on it now, a real plan finally formed in my head, as clear as right as any one of Marina's recipes. Of course, even the best recipes didn't work when the wrong cook tried them, but from the top of that tower, a person would be able to see everything. She would be the first thing that a dragon would see too. "It's perfect," I told Silky and pointed up to the clock tower high above us. "All I have to do is get up there." "Oh," Silky laughed. "Well, good luck with that." She pushed down on my arm until it was pointing straight ahead at the city square in front of the building, packed with men in red and black uniforms, carrying weapons that glinted in the sunshine. "Because you'll have to get past all of them first."